You're listening to the eTalk Podcast with Chad Smith on www.eTalkNola504.podomatic.com.
We'll be right back.
is E-Talk with Chad Smith. We like to let our listeners know today that this is a day of recognizing young brother Trayvon Martin. We are here in New Orleans, Louisiana at the Hale Box building on Poydras, and it's a federal building. This is the United States Courthouse, and the NAACP and other organizations here, along with citizens like Shedrick Roy and others who have decided to come together and make some things happen and bring people together. So I'm out here today with my esteemed friend and brother, Mr. Mark Johnson. How you doing?
Doing good, Chad. How you doing today?
Just fine. Beautiful day today. We out here in New Orleans. Summer day. It actually feels great in the shade.
Yeah, it does. So obviously, we have a little shade, and that's good because I expect a big turnout today in support of Trayvon Martin. You know, we just want to get the pulse of the people out here today and see where they stand on this verdict, the Zimmerman case. If you haven't been watching, get tuned in, because I think it's about to get turned up. It sparked a tremendous debate that we've been avoiding for the longest in America, and it's forcing us to have this conversation. Has America given its people a right and a license just to kill young black men? And a lot of people feel that way. So we're going to get some opinions out here today and actually see what the people feel.
It really is a racially charged case. Now, many things are coming out after with the jurors and how they were, you know, coached to make a decision. Some people are happy about it, some people are not. So this is a very peaceful protest. In every form, we have people out here with signs, young people. We're going to talk to them today to get their feedback on what's going on. I mean, this is a tragedy, and many of our elders feel like this is something that has been going on for a very long time, and it has to stop.
Right. Yeah, you can relate it to a lot of other similarities. The Mega Everest thing, my man Emmett Till. A lot of things have repeated itself in history where, you know, the black man has seemed to be not valued, not to have any kind of respect, you know, being that we are all considered to be criminals before anybody even knows us, before we even open our mouth. So what we're trying to do is see where we stand, see what we could do. We want to know the different avenues that we can kind of maybe come together and discuss and get the issues out on the table to really get some clarity about it. The only thing I can recommend everybody to do off top is find a friend of a different race or nationality. We can ask ourselves maybe four simple questions to determine whether or not we have multiculturalness in our own lives. So I think that's very necessary in order for us to get to this peace that we eventually need.
Many people are coming by the second. People are getting dropped off. They're walking with signs. I think it's a wonderful thing that's going on. It's a wonderful thing that's going on. We even have some characters out here too. But that's New Orleans, bro.
Anything, like my man here say, anything in New Orleans, man. I think it was a voodoo kind of man just passed by. You know, we on radio, so y'all couldn't see what we saw. But we have all kind of people out here in support or in opposition of this event or this situation. So in
a minute, we're going to be getting some of the organizers over here and get their opinions about and their feelings about this particular trial, the verdict, and the post-verdict, and see what they're saying, see what's on their minds. We're going to talk to the youth today, and we're going to just get the opinions of the people. We want the people to talk. We're here on the streets. We got our ear to the street, and we're going to get all of the opinions and feedback and emotions from the people here, right here in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah, I see a lot of young people out here. That's extremely encouraging. We really want to talk to our young black men and see what they feel. I mean, they are Trayvon Martin. This could have easily been him. No different than our president just said, man, 35 years ago, that I could be Trayvon Martin. And that struck a nerve for a lot of people, but it's a reality, and I'm glad Obama actually stepped up and spoke on that, being that you are a black man, you know what I mean? So you have to speak on that. Even though you have daughters right now, you don't have a son, it's still, they're going to date, you know what I'm saying, by marriage or whatever. A lot of people are out here, come out, bring your children, bring your sons, let them have a voice, let them see what's actually going on, make them more conscious of how the world views them, and that may give them a better opportunity to move forward and know how to play this game of life that we've been given. So include your children in this and have the open discussion. That's what we're going to do today.
So we'll be right back. The event is about to take place, and we have a youth choir on stage right now. Donatus King, the leader of the NAACP. We're actually going to get some feedback from some of our listeners here in New Orleans.
Yesterday, pretrial hearings wrapped up for George Zimmerman, the man accused of murdering 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in February of 2012. Zimmerman pleaded not guilty and claims that he shot Martin in self-defense. His second-degree murder trial starts on Monday. But joining me now is Martin family lawyer Benjamin Crum. It's been a year and a half since Trayvon's death, and it's been an emotional ride, not just for the nation, but for Trayvon's family. How are they coping right now with their son's passing?
You know, the best thing that could be said is they're taking it day to day. They have continued to have their faith in God and ask for prayer, because when you really think about it, nothing can prepare you for a tragedy like this, to lose your child in such an unbelievable manner.
I think what has compounded the trauma of losing a child, and I can only imagine how painful that is that they've also had to deal with the trauma of having Trayvon, not George Zimmerman, but Trayvon dragged through the mud, so to speak, in the media, having his character assaulted, having his decisions questioned when he was, in fact, the victim.
Absolutely, Mark. And it's the old strategy of vilify the victim to try to justify the heinous act of the defendant. It's the same with the rape victims when you try to suggest it's her fault because of the clothes that she wore or because of her history.
Is there any legal space for George Zimmerman to say, I was walking down the street, I followed him, and I made a decision that my life was in danger?
We have to base it on the objective evidence. The problem is, the only two people that was involved in this encounter was Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. And unfortunately, Trayvon Martin can't tell us his side of the story because he's dead.
What do you say, though? What do you say to people, and I'm sure the defense team would say this, they'd say, well, when Trayvon was first killed, the family put out pictures of a younger Trayvon on a horse. That was also intended to sway the nation in a certain kind of way, and that they're simply responding.
Because we want to clear this up. And just because they say something, don't believe it's accurate. We got to vet that stuff. The family never released photographs. You know where those photographs came from?
Where?
Those were photographs from his funeral that the press and the media got hold of. The picture on the horse that you speak of, that photograph was taken 2 weeks before Trayvon Martin was murdered. That was at his mother's birthday party.
The nation is, as you seem to be describing it, and I would agree with you, still struggling with the idea of not seeing a 17-year-old black man as a thug, not seeing him as a criminal. If there's so many people who are siding with George Zimmerman, so many people also who have bought into these photographs being old and tainted and all these things, if there's all this misinformation out there, how the heck is there going to be a fair trial starting on Monday?
Well, what we hope, Mark, and you have to pray that the jury will follow the law and follow the instruction that the court gives them to base their verdict on the evidence and nothing but the evidence. And I want to believe in my heart that that's what's going to happen, that they are going to base their verdict on the evidence, because the evidence is overwhelming. I'm appalled when I see my legal colleagues get on TV and say, oh, this is such a complicated case, this is such a hard case. Well, if you reverse the dynamics in this case and you have a African-American male get out of his car with a 9mm gun and chase an unarmed white teenager and shoot and kill him, nobody would say that's a hard case. Nobody would say that is a complicated case. So why is it different when you reverse the racial dynamics? Here lies the problem. While we've always contended that this is a civil rights / equal justice matter, we understand the state of Florida versus George Zimmerman is a criminal case. However, it became a civil rights case, a civil rights matter, the killing of Trayvon Martin, when the police did not arrest the killer of an unarmed child and let him go home and sleep in his bed that night.
What's going on, brother? How you doing? Tell me your name.
Tyrone Trufant.
All right, Tyrone Trufant. Give me your age and what school you go to here in New Orleans?
St. Augustine.
And give me your age, please.
12.
All right, 12 years old. And tell me your feelings as a young 12-year-old man, young man here in New Orleans. Tell me your feelings about the Trayvon Martin situation. I see you have your, you and your family are here. You have your Stand Up for Trayvon shirts, beautiful shirts. And just tell us what you think.
Sad that he was killed for doing nothing. And it's just sad that he's not, Zimmerman not guilty.
All right, so tell me your name.
Elena.
Elena, and what do you think about the verdict?
The same. I think it's sad, and I think we need to keep fighting to get the law changed.
Okay, so many people feel like they need to get the law changed. As a parent, what do you feel?
I feel that the law definitely needs to be changed because it's, we're already taking our own lives. We don't need help. We don't need help for our lives being taken. We need help to end violence.
Absolutely. So thank y'all for coming out. I think this is a very positive thing that you're doing to bring these three young men and this sister, our young sister out here to come together in unity and learn how to get together with one another and communicate. I think that if we build the lines of communication, our community will get a lot stronger. So thank you very much for y'all time.
All right. Thank you, my man. Just tell everybody who you are right quick.
My name is Shedrick Roy.
Shedrick Roy. You know, I know you. We got to soon know together, man. I know you've been involved heavily in all the kind of different politics and the ongoings of the community and everything. We out here in protest of the Zimmerman verdict, the Trayvon Martin situation. We just want to get your feeling and get an idea of where you stand on how everything happened and how it affected you.
Okay. First of all, my condolences to the Martin family. That's number one. Shocked. Just like the look that was on President Obama's face, just shocked as any minority, not just African-American, but any person of color, just shocked. In Florida, I'm not surprised. Personally, I had a case in Florida. I had a jet ski accident. I had to settle out of court and because my attorney told me they did not see a white jury giving a black man money over a white business owner. And this was last year. And this was a jet ski accident. Now this man, this child, is dead. At least I'm still here. He's dead. His family has to grieve forever. But being a native of New Orleans, it's about Trayvon Martin being a symbol, but it's about a Terrellyn Monette. It's about a Leroy Glover. It's about Mr. Madison on the Danziger Bridge. It's about the profiling in the district attorney's office, where it's more important for him to have a high conviction rate than whether or not a man or woman is innocent. And normally the men and women that are in the criminal justice system look like me, and guess what? I am one of them that's dealing with an issue in the criminal justice system where we are just being herded like cattle. And it's just time for New Orleans to wake up. It's time for the African American family to wake up. We can't blame nobody but us.
You touched on the value of the black man, how we are devalued, and it's so easy and so convenient for them to throw us away or murder us or lock us up and not provide us with quality education. Do you think all this is still relevant from a time and place when we were slaves? We were once again in the same situation, different time, different look, different feel, but the end result is the same, to just basically do away with us.
You know, there's an old slogan or phrase that says, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Right now, we should be embarking upon a new civil rights movement. The civil rights movement of the 60s was good for that time, but right now we are in need of a new civil rights movement. So those of you who think you have arrived, you really haven't. We really haven't. And when we realize that we are nothing but just labor, or we are the American president got on TV yesterday and said, I too have been racially profiled. Now for the man who is in the office of president, the commander in chief, to say, I can relate, and black folk, in particular African-American males, need to know that the country cares, that they are a part of, and not some type of, E.T. Slavery is a new slavery. It's an economic thing. And because we lack economically, we have so many ills. Don't get me wrong, that's no excuse for us to be killing each other or killing anyone else. The Dawn Shore don't have the right to profile me because I'm black with a hoodie on with Skittles in my hand and iced tea.
It's time for us to stand up, take charge, represent not only yourself but everyone else around you who looks like you, and not stand for what's going on right now. I think really we've been too passive. We've been entirely too passive to allow something like this to happen. Like the president said as well, I could have been Trayvon Martin 35 years ago. I could have been shot because I look like somebody, or I instill fear in you. I think that's another question we need to ask, particularly white America. Why do we fear you so much? Is it because you fear that what you've done to us, we're going to one day come back and sort of get even? Or are you afraid that you created this mystique about us? You said that we are criminals. We don't consider ourselves to be criminals. Or do we even consider ourselves to be criminals?
I don't have nothing to say to white America. What I have to say is to us. It's on us to save us. We have to start back and get a spiritual presence, whether you go to church or the church inside of you, your body, spiritually. We have to get it together. Then we must start taking better care of our family. And then after we get it together spiritually and take better care of our families, then we need to be a part of the political process. You have to vote. A voteless people is a hopeless people. Somewhere along the line, the generation before us, the baby boomers or whomever, they dropped the ball. And now we pretty much, I hate to write off a generation, but because I was incarcerated, the mindset of some of the brothers in jail, to be real with you, they I hate to say it, the mindset that some of the brothers have in jail, you know what, that is the best place for them. So we have to start with our kids, younger people, in changing what's going on. That's the only way we're going to be better, is for us to stop blaming other folk and start blaming us folk. It's on us to save us.
All right, look at the man in the mirror. I appreciate your time, man, your words. Continue doing what you do. And we're going to sit out here a little bit longer and continue this fight, bro. All right, thank you a lot.
Stars, we are. So keep in mind the only jail is just the prison of ourselves.
How you doing? We're still out here at the Trayvon Martin protest, and we're talking to a fellow, and he's talking about slavery and how that actually still has an impact on us today. We're going to let you speak a little bit on that and how you feel and what you think slavery has done to us.
What has happened? The institution of slavery. Listen to what we say, institution of slavery. The institution of slavery is ingrained, incorporated in the Constitution and in America's psyche. Now, let me tell you what happened. One of the so-called great presidents of black people was Bill Clinton. Well, he institutes the reduction in the welfare program. And to tell the truth on black women in America, they got off of welfare. They let a white man put their kids, our young brothers, for the last 28 years on Ritalin. If you look at the scores of these young guys that's on Ritalin, they're killers, they're murderers. At the end of the day, part of the institution of slavery was to produce a poem called Big Boy. Big Boy was going to be assassinated by the Klan. So in the ingrain of slavery institution, black women were always kept their sons by them. And as they kept them by them, that caused them to nurture their sons and independentize their daughters. So today we have two sets of African Americans under 40 years old. Some that has went to the white institution, so-called educated, with an imperialism mentality that looked down on our people, theirself, and the other ones that didn't get that education from the Ritalin program and miseducation in public schools, that's the violent. But the better ones to deal with are the ones that are in on the street. I'm with an organization, we go out on the street all the time. The guys that have been incarcerated and have the bruises and the whipping from the street, it's easy to get them to understand that they've been tricked. But those miseducated that think they have arrived because they got a sheepskin that says they got a degree of miseducation, and I despise some of them that's in broadcasting in New Orleans right now because they're trying to justify the N-word. If you want to justify the N-word, justify Jaime, justify Diego, justify Greaseball. Now I'm talking about Italian Jews, other races. So if you want to justify the N-word, do that. But once again, the word we have to understand, institutional slavery today. And until we correct that, I'm not going to blame us. As I heard a talker just before me, he said, what we have to do. We are fighting against a system of institutional slavery. They changed the name. I just say we changed the name and the ID to protect the innocent. And we are really dealing with that. So at the end of the day, we have to call it like it is. Trayvon, if you break it down, Trey means three. And we're in the third stage right now. And Martin is always our leader. We had a Martin. And when this is going to energize us. And I'm so glad young folks are out here, but to continue to fight. And the ones that's killing itself, they're miseducated, misled about the institution of prophecy. Think about it. You get busted. We partners. Police say, yeah, your boy ratted you out. So now we done. We all beefing. So we have to deal with that. In the prison institution, you rape me and come on the street, I see you, you know what time it is. So it's part of that institution, the mindset of racism and institution in the institution. So thank you all for getting my opinion out. But at the end of the day, I'll be the man behind the mic. You know me. I'm from the Who Sent You Times. Everybody know who that is. Who sent you? Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. All right, we're here with Pastor Gordon. We're out here at the Trayvon Martin protest, or basically the Zimmerman verdict protest. We want to get a little bit of input of what you feel about this and how this has affected you or the people of America.
Well, it is a tragedy, the loss of a young life. And then many people, of course, are upset about the verdict, and I can understand that. I believe that peaceful protests for what we feel is an injustice is always in order. But I want to expand upon that, that we also must be concerned about black-on-black crime. This is a tragedy what happened to Trayvon Martin, but there are tragedies being perpetrated across our communities every day, and I hope this will also lead to a conversation about that.
Definitely, definitely, there's something happening every day, and that's actually was mentioned to us earlier how, you know, even with the young girl who was murdered the other day, I mean, things are happening daily, and this is just one thing out of all of those things. So do you think these protests will actually have a good effect or have any kind of turnaround in the way basically white America views black well, teens or black men?
Well, I think what white America is saying is I see them all upset about this, but what about what they're doing to themselves? Now, that's a legitimate argument. I know some of us don't want to hear it. Now, that doesn't justify what happened to Trayvon. So I think we got to expand that from this, build upon this to address the larger issues.
I understand. I appreciate your time, and thank you for sitting down with us.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
How you doing? Let the people know your name.
Jason Coleman.
Jason Coleman. We're here out there for the Zimmerman verdict protest. We out here in support of Trayvon Martin. What do you think as a black man, how America actually views us? And do you think what happened to Trayvon was actually justified?
Well, first off, we are here for justice. And we are here to the demand from our elected official at the federal government level, who we voted for in this city about 90%. And we feel that it is a justice issue, and we're asking for some resolve. I think that it's an injustice what happened to Trayvon, and not just Trayvon, but many others, day to day in our own community. And I can tell you from the WWL and other blogs that I've seen that our other citizens that may not look like me or talk like me seem to have a view that is unchristian and unjustified, being that it never should have been brought to trial or no evidence was there when basically the prosecution, I think, somehow dropped the ball with some of the evidence that was there, because it seems to me that this case proves that some people want to be vigilantes are heroes, and they think that by slaying an African-American in jest or jest that they can get away with it, and they're doing us a good service in America, when basically they got there is because of the work, blood, sweat, and tears that we put down as immigrants and as slaves in this society to build up the wealth of America. And I think it's just an injustice. Therefore, if I'm out here supporting it, and hopefully the rest of the citizens can continue to write and just show a good voice of proactiveness to get out and vote, register to vote, and let the people know that we are not just talking about today, but we're trying to set a course for the future.
Right. You touched on something very important. Basically, a lot of people think on these blogs that Trayvon deserved it. He was scumbag. He was a drug user. He was a thug because of how he dressed, or because maybe he smoked marijuana in the past, or maybe he associated with some people that were, you know, not necessarily on the up and up. Do you think that gives a person a license to follow, stalk, and then gun down somebody who was basically defending themselves?
Yeah, I think he's a vigilante. I think he made a confrontational approach towards a young man. The young man defended himself. He got his butt kicked, and then he pulled the weapon. And basically, you heard the screams and cries for help, and then therefore he shot him. It wasn't as self-defense as he claims. And I think even if you go to the a knife with a gunfight, basically, he knew he had Trayvon out man at that time, because he ran up to a real criminal, it would have been lights out. And then we would have had a different situation that we never would have heard of, because it just would have been another black criminal shooting down an innocent man in the street, when vice versa, it was the opposite this time. And it seems America's been silent on this issue.
All right. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you for your thoughts. You know, be here in support of Trayvon. There's a lot of people out here. The crowd is growing. It's getting crazy. People are just frustrated. People are aggravated that their lives, particularly black men, are worth nothing, probably worth more than a dollar. So we're going to keep talking to people, getting the word on the street, and we'll be back.
Hey, it's Niecy Nash, taking a break from my new TV Land sitcom, The Soul Man, to talk to all you moms out there. My character Lolly is a mom too, and she's pretty fierce when it comes to protecting her family. But all moms need to remember to take care of themselves too, especially when it comes to heart disease. It's the number one killer of women, but you can reduce your risk through healthy diet and exercise. So spread the word and take care of yourself. Find out more at GoRedForWomen.org.
Well, welcome back to E-Talk, and this is Chad Smith, and I'm standing here with the esteemed brother Willie Muhammad. He's been on our show plenty of times with the Peacekeepers, and we're finally meeting. It's strange. We've always had our conversations on the phone, but just to meet this brother and be in his presence is a blessing. And I'm very happy to have this opportunity again to interview you, Trayvon Martin. It really hurts my heart to even have to convene or come together for something like this rather than on another note. But we want to get your opinion or your feelings about this Trayvon Martin situation. You are avid. Your advocacy is peacekeepers and keeping the peace on the street. So give us your opinions about that.
You know, first of all, it's tragic, man. And it pains me to see the grief that the Martins, the parents had when you see them on television. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he spoke to the Martins, Trayvon's parents, he used the example of Jesus. You know how people say that Jesus died so that other people can live? And he said that Trayvon's life is going to be a testament to awaken the masses. And you're seeing it with this right now all over the country. There's 100 cities where this is going on. So this is a start, right? But you know, the thing I have to ask our community is, when will enough be enough? This year is Trayvon. Last year was Oscar Grant. The year before that, Sean Bell. And we can go through endless and more, and those we don't know about, and not even talking about those that died from the senseless violence in our community. But at what point as a community of black people where we rally around what we need to do to better ourselves instead of where it had to be some tragic incident or loss of someone's life to jolt us into some consciousness, right?
Talk about this situation. Many people say, oh, why we are not talking about the black on black crime, or why we're not trying to do that. Well, this is proof right here that Brother Willie Muhammad and his organization before this event have made a conscious effort to be peacekeepers, not just in New Orleans, but worldwide. Tell us about that.
And you know, even before that, I hear people say that all of these critics and these white conservatives are saying it. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was traveling this country of America in the late 80s, early 90s, and beyond on a tour called Stop the Killing, warning black community that, listen, leaders, the black leaders, the black politicians, clergy, that we need to come together to tactically and strategically address this incident, this violence that's taking place. But because Minister Farrakhan doesn't wear the stamp of approval by white America, you have these black pastors and black politicians, some of them, not all of them, they're afraid to unite behind a man that has a solution, you know? And so that's what the thing, and I see that, and just like you said, when they say about why we're not addressing it, I'm like, who are you talking to? And then the thing is, why isn't the white community upset about the violence in the black community? Marches just have to be put on by black people? You know, so what are they talking about in regards to that? But we have to understand as a community that if we don't get together and do something for ourselves, nobody else will. The Trayvon Martin verdict only reaffirmed what black people knew already and what other black folks were trying to deny, that a black life in America is worth nothing. After the verdict, I listened to the different interviews and you hear black folks saying, we were disappointed. I'm disappointed. It was a miscarriage of justice. Well, you were disappointed because you were expecting something. But those of us who know and those of us who look at in society that the statistics and the information that in society that tells you what's really going on are realizing that despite us having black entertainers, black athletes, and even a black president, that black folks are still struggling. They're still showing that the economic gap between blacks and white is still increasing, the health disparities. So if we look at that, we wouldn't be surprised, right? But when you're looking at, if you're going to use racial justice as, if you're going to use how many black men and white women are getting together as a sign of racial justice, then you're going to be deceived. But people who really know that for the most part, there's been some change, but for the most part, black folks are still struggling in America.
It's touching what you're just saying. Just so happened, the song, guy's riding by with his a bike with a stereo system, and change is going to come. And I totally believe that change is going to come. We need more things like this, but to be proactive, not just one day a week, but we got to do this 7 days a week as much as we can.
And you know, when they talk about those marches, I thought about it. You know, one of the reasons why you have all of these protests and all of this when a white person kills a black person, because subconsciously in black people's mind, we expect better from white folks. and we don't expect the same from our own. So when we see one of them murder us, when we see one of them beat the justice system, we're upset because we're still affected by that white Jesus image where you are supposed to be our savior. But when you're faced with the cold hard reality that not all of them, but the great ones, the many of them who are in power, that they don't see us as the same, it hurts our people, right? And see, as a black community, we have to understand is that if we don't unify, we're going to continue to be devoured. You look in nature, why do fish swim in a school? Because they understand that there are larger predators out there. And if you're caught by yourself, you'll be swallowed by that larger predator. As a black community, with all of our PhDs and all our scholarship, we have yet to understand that principle, and we're suffering as a result of it. So the Most High Elijah Muhammad in the 60s and 50s said the following. He said that black folks need to do for self or suffer the consequences, and we are suffering the consequences right now.
Brother Willie Muhammad, we really thank you for your time. Yes, we're going to get back to the protest. I want everyone to know the information on the peacekeepers. If you're interested in maybe helping these brothers, not just here in New Orleans, but anywhere in our great earth that we live in, give them the information.
Well, that number is 504-274-9426. And one of the things that we're planning to do in the next couple of weeks, we want to have a motorbike ride against violence. And we want to use that motorbike ride with all, we're calling all of the different motorbike clubs here in the city of New Orleans. Call us at 504-274-9426 to see how you can be a part of it, because we want to spread the awareness about this beef hotline.
All right, we're going to make some noise.
Yes, sir.
Brother Willie Muhammad, we really thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to talk to my man. We rode by. He gave us a soundtrack earlier when we were doing the interview. Change Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. It was fitting for the interview we were having. If you hear it, you'll understand what we're talking about. I see you out here with your sons. You brought them out here to protest the Trayvon Martin situation, the Zimmerman verdict. We want to just get your name first and then get your opinion on what you think about the verdict.
My name is Rodney Clark, and I think the verdict was ridiculous. And I'm out here with my sons, and you can ask them what the purpose of them being out here. Right now.
What's the purpose of coming out here for?
Trayvon Martin to help us, too.
So you're standing in support of Trayvon Martin?
Yes.
I understand. What's your name, man?
Rodney Andy Clark Jr.
All right. What do you think about, how old are you, first of all?
15.
All right, you're 15. You're very close to age to Trayvon Martin. What do you think about how white America, or America, period, views a person like yourself, a young man, you in school, doing your thing? How does it affect you that you can be profiled, or, you know, something like this could be basically you?
It don't make the young ones safe because you got people around here killing young black children.
So basically, you don't feel safe?
No.
So what do you think we could tell America to let them know that you're not a threat, you're not a violent person? All you want to do is, you know, go on and live your life and do what you want to do. Why do they have to bother you? Is there anything that you can let them know how you feel about, you know, being in that situation or being in that age group where you're profiled like that?
What I think is that justice needs to be served, and that's all.
I understand. All right, I'm here with my man. What's your name, sir?
Charlie Whaler.
Charlie Whaler. And what do you think about the verdict? How do you feel about the state of America and race relations? I know that's three different questions, but y'all kind of tied in one semi.
I can answer that, you know, all of them with one answer. Shame on America.
So America should be ashamed of itself.
I mean, I'm ashamed. That's why I'm out here right now, because I feel if I don't come out here, I'm a part of America that should be shamed, you know? So I'm like, shame on whoever don't come out here and fight for this injustice, because injustice anywhere, you know, is just injustice. It just shouldn't be, you know? Because when they knock on somebody else's door today, tomorrow's going to be your door.
I understand, man. I appreciate y'all time. Thank you. All right, how y'all doing? We're still here at the Trayvon Martin protest. We're with Mr. Mark Gonzalez. He had a very interesting sign that says, Boycott Racist Florida. And I wanted to give you an opinion on the events that happened. And obviously, tell us a little bit about that sign.
Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I'm here on Poydras Street for the Justice for Trayvon Martin rally. It's a very beautiful rally. It's very hurtful that what happened to Trayvon. I heard something on the radio the other day that really hit home for me. It was a caller said, you know, if this had been a black man that had shot and killed an unarmed 17-year-old white kid, he'd have been under the jail before they even indicted Zimmerman. So anyway, it's I think something has to happen in this country, and you start with small steps, and you start with something that really hits people in the pocket. I think we should be boycotting Florida. I think if the national boycott of Florida started, you'd see some real justice for Trayvon Martin.
And especially during this peak time with Disney World and all the attractions that they have going on, you're right, that would be a major boycott.
You got it. Some national organizations, some big companies ought to step up to the plate and say, we're going to hit Florida where it hurts, where it counts, and we're going to boycott until they take away this stand your ground racist law. It's just purely, it's like a license for violence, as it was stated here. It's a license to kill. It's just really horrible. And Florida's the state that started this.
It is an awful law, so hopefully something can be done about it. You're in the legal profession. Do you think there's any kind of movement that can be made to maybe get that started?
It starts with people. It really does. I mean, if you think that, as much as I like a lot of President Obama's things, and I voted for him, if you think he's going to start this movement, you're wrong. This has got to start from the people, just like the campaign for Obama did. I mean, it started with the people and went forward. The people have got to see that in this country, economics is what works. And a boycott of Florida is really what's going to bring this home.
You mentioned Obama. I was wanting to get your opinion on what you thought about him coming out and addressing the Trayvon Martin situation, how he was very vocal about it to be the leader of the most powerful, you know, nation. Do you think that was it a surprise to you, or did you expect it?
I thought it was beautiful what he said. Again, I think that really the president is pretty much, especially Obama, and this is where I have my problems with him, is he's got a soapbox that is like the biggest soapbox on the planet. And so far, I haven't seen him using it to the full. I mean, he was voted twice to be president, and he has a lot of potential for getting on that soapbox and saying something. Now, the president of the United States isn't going to come out and say, boycott Florida. You know, he's just not going to do that. But I think the president of the United States could say, you know what, even though it may not be very successful or easy, we ought to be bringing civil rights charges against Mr. Zimmerman, and, you know, to be honest with you, I think he could at least say that he wants his Justice Department to seriously consider it. I don't know that it's even appropriate for the president to say that we should. You know, being president is a special position. He has to both represent all the people, which he's very good at doing, and he also has to use the power and the soapbox to get things moving, like Kennedy did. You know, like Johnson did, even though it wasn't very successful, the war on poverty, we're still talking about. You know, these are the things that I look for Obama to do that, frankly, I don't see him doing it. But I think what he had to say was perfectly appropriate and good.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your presence. All right.
Just like you. Now between me and you, I pray his dreams like that never come true. I mean, I pray he do as his daddy say per se, but don't do as his daddy do.
Mark Morial. We're at the Trayvon Martin protest. We want to just get your input of what went on and what are your views of the verdict?
It's a powerful crowd here. And there are powerful crowds in 100 cities across the nation. It's good to see people here in New Orleans stand up for justice for Trayvon Martin. Of course, the verdict was a travesty of justice, but we must continue to push for justice for Trayvon. We must continue to encourage people to participate on August 24th in Washington, D.C. We must continue to push for there to be not only a conversation, but action about the issues that confront particularly our young men and our young boys. We must not allow this to be a moment in time. We have to see this as a beginning.
What do you have to say about the boycott? Many people are talking about boycott in Florida.
Prepared yet. I think that right now we believe it's important to focus on August 24th. I think there are going to be other things discussed and talked about, but what I'm not a believer, I know there's an outcry. I think there are people who will decide on their own not to visit here, but there are 34 states, a large number of states in the country, I'm not sure the number, who have stand your ground laws. So we need to be sure that as we push for repeal, we're thinking strategically about how we proceed.
Right here we have Brother Byron Cole with the Fathers Advocacy Group. They stepping it up here in New Orleans, not just in New Orleans, but nationwide. We're talking about our fathers, very important, especially with Trayvon Martin. You got to feel for Tracy Martin and his family. Our condolences go to him. But as a father, brother, we would love to hear your feeling.
Regarding this case, man, I just... To be honest, what's got me distraught is just the reaction of the fathers and the mothers in America. You know, he said nice crowd. I beg to differ. I think that was a politician's answer. You heard me? Because I'm looking at this crowd, and the first thing I see obviously missing is the absence of the so-called decent or moderate white folk. Where they at? The same ones that was out marching and talking about let's hang Michael Vick from a tree behind a dog. Where they at? On this same steps. It was packed all the way down Poydras behind the dogs, you remember? But now we're talking about a black life, and they're showing us what a black life is worth. Me, myself, and you know, because you've been by the house, I've been reading Garvey all week. That's where I'm at with it. You know what I'm saying? They don't need to show me nothing else. I got a son 19 and I got a son 13. And if that's how I got to go out, that's how I'm going out. You know, and I don't know what the rest of you fathers are thinking, but that's where I'm at with it.
One more thing. Tell us about your organization. I remember we had a conversation about there are many other situations that need to be brought to light, like in Delaware and in other places. But tell us about the situation in Delaware and what you experienced.
Okay, I was hanging out on the East Coast, and I got a call from Mama Pam Africa, asked me to come to a rally in Delaware since I was so close. I popped up at a rally and discovered that three African-American men have been lynched in the state of Delaware in the last 2 years, and the Attorney General Bo Biden, Joe Biden's son, refuses to open the cases, and they were all ruled suicide by the authorities. So what I was able to do was make a mental connection in my own head, because 2 days later, I went down to D.C. to the inauguration, and as Obama standing up in the little podium giving his fluff speech, I look 4 or 5 people next to him, and I see who? Bo Biden. That was a strict, definite message to all of the left that, okay, we letting this cat have the figurehead, but we still in control. And we as people still trying to explain racism. We trying to fight the school system to make it better when we should divest. Everybody, we should just step away. Every leader we've ever had that said that, they murdered. And everyone that said kumbaya like they doing up there, they let exist. And what people don't want to admit is that Dr. King was murdered because he himself started to question what he had been doing. I've read a lot of books by Dr. King, but I just recently in the last 2 or 3 years started reading the literature that he wrote himself, which out of all them books you find in the library, he only wrote a small few of them. And those are his words. and he didn't hire a ghostwriter. And if he would have meant for it to be another way, he was intelligent enough to tell us that. And, you know, what we need to do is quit letting them make our idols and tell us what they were saying. We need to read for ourselves what they were saying. So, to make a long story short, they lynching black men all over America, whether it be with their own belts, which there's 14 or 15 documented cases that I know of in the last 4 years, or by the gun, or however. It's a war against Africa, period. The whole continent. You feel me? Anything, her descendants, her culture, everything is being attacked. And we need to wake up. You know, tell them we want Detroit, something.
Welcome back to E-Talk, and we'd like to get some more feedback before we end our show. We have one of our esteemed elders here, and we're going to let him introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Monroe Coleman. I'm a part of the movement. We as people have to wake up. We are being bent over, put saddles on our back, riding us like horses, kicking us like dogs. We have to keep vigilant of what's going on, because if we don't, we shall return to the past. And I encourage everybody who's not here to still come out and represent yourself and be a part of this movement. We need every person in the sound of my voice to be a participant.
Now, as an elder, you and unfortunately, this is something that you've seen before in the past with young African-American men being assassinated, murdered, killed, whatever you want to call. But it's 2013. We're going to 2014. I want to get your feelings and comments on. Many people think we've come a long way, but I want to get your opinion on that.
Well, we really have not come far enough. We are in what Justice Clarence Thomas said. This is high-tech lynching. We are still being lynched electronically with the way we are given credit, lack of credit, the way they're putting our kids out of school so they cannot be educated. They are preparing them for these prisons that are ran by private corporations, and they have judges that is participating. They're on the board of the prison, or they're being funded to send the children of our young men to prison. They get an undue long years, and when they do get out, they cannot come back into the workforce, and that means you have to end up, if you don't work, you're going to steal, or you're going to do illegal drugs. And at some point, you shall get caught and return back to prison. So I just encourage you, we have to change the mindset that we have not arrived. Just about everybody is one or two paychecks from being homeless. And if you're very fortunate, you need to help others to become property owners. In the United States, less than 1% of real property is owned by people of color. And this is a disgrace from back from the 1850s to this present time. In fact, we go back further than that, to the 1550, when we were brought over in this country. Some illegally, others came over through a migration. But we need to be about our father's business, owning property, deeded property, and not be losing our lives over standing on the corner fighting for a block that we don't own.
Mr. Coleman, we really appreciate you. Longtime entrepreneur here in the city. We can't thank you enough for your because you've seen a lot. You've been here. You've seen a lot, not just in your profession, but growing up here in New Orleans and seeing the changes that we had here. So we're going to let you have the last word.
I want to encourage people to start some type of your own business. When you have your own business, you set your prices. And if you want my services, you'll pay my price. I'm not going to have you telling me what I'm going to sell my service for, because it's based on time and labor. That's what gives you the price of a job. And we have to stop working for somebody else and work for ourselves, because we're the last hired, first fired. And when you own the business, you be the last fired. So I encourage people to get the necessary skills and build your business brick by brick. Because if you overextend your credit, you shall be bankrupt. So I thank you for giving me this moment, and hopefully somebody will take heed to what we was talking about, turn the lights on so we may rise up, and God bless.
Ah, yeah. Your gun down while you have time. Whoa, put your gun down while you have time. You need to put your gun down. Whoa, put your gun down. Put your gun down. While you have time, oh, call on Jesus while you have time. You need to call on Jesus. Oh, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus while you have time. Watching you every day. Oh, God is watching you every day. You need to put your gun down. Oh, put your gun down. Put your gun down while you have time. Every minute, every second, every hour. Put your gun down.